There are less than 72 hours left before Israel heads to the polls. Voters there appear to be set to elect Ariel Sharon as prime minister. In almost every poll, Mr. Sharon is commanding a 20-point lead over incumbent Ehud Barak. The change in power could have dramatic implications for Mideast peacemaking or for intensified violence. The main campaign issue seemed to be the conflict with Palestinians, which has killed nearly 400 people. And yet, it seemed to be an unusually low-key campaign. Our Jennifer Ludden joins us from Jerusalem. Jennifer, thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Scott.
And in a nation, Jennifer, that is so where people listen to the hourly newscast and is consumed with politics, how do you explain a kind of low-key campaign?
Yeah, an unusually low key. I think you ask people on the street and they basically say, look, by all accounts, it's decided. We know who's going to win. Why bother? But there's also another phenomenon here, which I think is that this is not a true expression of public sentiment because neither of these candidates is his party's first choice. Ariel Sharon is called by some the accidental candidate. He is only here because the far more popular former Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu decided not to contest this race. Mr. Barak, the incumbent, of course, is deeply unpopular, and already there's a battle in the newspapers over who's going to succeed him. Mm-hmm. But no one could have mounted a challenge before the vote, which was a snap election.
With the advantage of, a couple days hindsight or something, how is it that somebody who was read out of public life practically, just, really even a few months ago, Ariel Sharon, now stands to win such a commanding victory?
Well, as one member of Mr. Sharon's party put it, a broom could beat Ehud Barak. Barak is deeply unpopular. He has waged a campaign, essentially a scare campaign, trying to remind people of Ariel Sharon's military adventures in the past, his hard-fisted attitude toward Palestinians and other Arabs, suggesting he'll only bring worse violence and panic the entire Middle East. But it's not working very well. His campaign ads, virtually no one's watching them. They're not paying attention to the campaign. Ariel Sharon, on the other hand, is successfully reinventing himself. His commercials show a grandfatherly figure cuddling his grandchildren walking through his wheat fields. It's as if his strategists have said to him, just get to the finish line by saying as little as possible. He has held very few press conferences. When he faced some uncomfortable moments and challenges that in some public appearances, he canceled, for instance, high school stops. He canceled meetings with journalists. And somehow he just has these vague slogans like unity and change. And no one seems to be pointing out the irony here, but a man who's largely opposed peacemaking for decades now has this very catchy campaign tune that only Sharon will bring peace.
Well, that introduces the idea, should Ariel Sharon become prime minister in a few days, does he have a peace plan that he's talked about?
He has not detailed it, saying that essentially these things should be left to negotiations. But essentially, according to some of his advisors, he would dump the Oslo peace paradigm that we've been dealing with for a decade, mm-hmm. saying, as many feel right now, look, it hasn't worked, look where we are. And then his plan from there is like a series of no's. He would freeze the status quo, no more land to the Palestinians, no removal of Jewish settlements in the West Bank or Gaza, no sharing sovereignty in Jerusalem, essentially turning the clock back. Mm-hmm. Now, at a time when Israelis feel their government under Ehud Barak offered so much and was rebuffed, in fact, met with Palestinian violence, taking all that back as some sort of a punishment has very broad appeal.
Doesn't necessarily mean at the same time, because peace plans at various times have had the support of Likud and many of the right-wing parties. Does it necessarily mean that Ariel Sharon as prime minister would call a total halt to a peacemaking process?
Well, there is the Nixon goes to China theory, mm-hmm. and Israelis will point out forever that it was Menachem Begin of the Likud party that made peace with Egypt. So who knows, and there is nothing to be ruled out here. It is not clear at all that Sharon could turn back the clock. A decade, even if it's a failed policy, mm-hmm. it's out there on the table, and how can you ignore it? There's also this strange phenomenon that most Israelis still tell pollsters they support deep concessions for a peace deal. And to back this up, consider this. Until the end of this week, there was constant speculation that Barak would step down in favor of Nobel Peace Laureate Shimon Peres. Mm-hmm. He did not not do this, but pollsters were including Peres every week, and they showed that Peres polled nearly equal with Sharon. So you've got this large section of society that supports the ultimate dove, Shimon Peres, but is so angry and frustrated at Barak that with Peres not in the race, they're now choosing to support the ultimate hawk, Ariel Sharon. So it's a protest vote, and many Israelis are not certain a Sharon government is going to last that long anyway.
And on the other hand, perhaps he might be anxious to avoid the stain of the Sabra and Shatila massacre by becoming known as a peacemaker.
Maybe so. He'll have to deal with a very fractious Knesset, and that we may be dealing with next week.
Okay, thanks very much. NPR's Jennifer Ludden in Jerusalem.